Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. The Pistons are finally back into training camp. Things are happening. The team's together. They're practicing. They're getting ready for the preseason, getting ready in the long term for the regular season, and hopefully for a long playoff run. We're going to be here every day, Monday through Friday, from here on out, to break down everything going on with the Pistons. You can follow us on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. Today's Locked On Pistons is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets. The promo code LOPISTONS, that's LOPISTONS, L-O as in Locked On Pistons, LOPISTONS, gets you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. Today we're going to primarily talk about a couple things, one that matters, one that doesn't. We're going to start off with the one that doesn't, but is getting a lot of attention, and that's Andre Drummond's virtual reality free throw shooting. I'm sure you've seen by now, everybody's covered it. There's been articles about this big breakthrough in Andre Drummond's practice habits for free throws and, you know, how he's using virtual reality to improve from the line. And it's just been on and on about, oh, you know, the Pistons are so open-minded, they're so forward-thinking, they're willing to use technology, Drummond is so smart and savvy and all of this. And maybe, I suppose that's possible, but I have not seen one description of how this works in a meaningful way that really makes me think this is some revolutionary technique. The only thing I've really seen in explanation of it is that Drummond watches himself make free throws over and over and over. And that's as old as video itself. Positive reinforcement, that's always been a strategy. Undoubtedly, a lot of his problems at the line are mental. You can see him in practice. He can make them. You know, I think there could be some other things going on. And I think this is true a lot of players where it's assigned as only a mental block. Well, it's not only a mental block. He's not a good jump shooter. Like, he doesn't have great form. He doesn't have great technique on his jumper. He doesn't have any range. And then you add that he's in the middle of this very high intensity exercise. Playing in a basketball game at the NBA level is exhausting. And so he's tired. He doesn't have great form to start. It's hard to keep everything together. I think that's a big part of it. And I don't know if there's an easy solution to it, but to keep working. But on the flip side, it definitely, there is a mental aspect because he can make them better in practice than he does in games. For his career, you know, he's around, see, over 40%. He's probably not anymore. He's probably, I think he was at one point and then dipped back down. Maybe he never even got over. His first year, he shot 37%, then 42%, then 39%. Last year, it dipped down to 35.5%. So it's three straight years in the wrong direction. And so, you know, something needs to be done. He needs to address it. I'm just not convinced virtual reality is some silver bullet. Because what it sounds like he's doing, based on the descriptions we've gotten, he just watches himself make free throws. And there is an advantage, and this does seem real. He can watch it from his own perspective. You know, you can put on the virtual reality device, headset, however the exact setup is, and he can watch it from his own perspective, or he can watch it three-dimensionally as if he were from the side and watch himself make it. And that could be helpful. Like, I don't think this is going to be bad for him, but just watching yourself make free throws, that's not some silver bullet. So I got a kick out of everybody just bringing up, you know, virtual reality and how grand and marvelous that is. And they all sound like Donald Trump talking about cyber this, cyber that, the 400-pound guy and his 10-year-old grandson. And, you know, cyber. And it's, I don't know. I mean, they just all sound out of touch to me. Unless this is way more revolutionary than they've explained and presented, it just seems like the narrative on this is not in line with something that's tremendously helpful or some breakthrough. It's a nice thing, but what's the difference, or how big is the difference between watching on virtual reality and watching just a regular video? Players have done that forever. I mean, they've watched their good ones and that positive mental reinforcement, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it's never been something that's worked like tremendously well. It's not going to raise him from his 38% average into the 80s or anywhere close to that. If it makes him marginally better, it's worth it. You know, if it helps him make one more free throw than he would have made, regardless, it's worth it. But I'm not even sure if the advantages are that big. And especially, I'm definitely not convinced the advantages are bigger than just watching it on standard video. Before we get into the thing that matters, this matters a great deal, and it's Stan Van Gundy and the other Pistons talking about national anthem protests and the treatment of blacks in America, and Tom Gores actually talked about this, also the Pistons owner. Before we get into all of that, I want to talk to you for a moment about SeatGeek. Football's back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether it's the 50-yard line, the club seats, or the upper level. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LO Pistons. LO Pistons. It's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Pistons. That's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons today. So, to the statements made by Van Gundy, and Marcus Morris talked about this, and Reggie Jackson talked about this, and Darren Hilliard talked about this, and Tom Gores talked about this, and that's just what I've seen. And I'm sure the other players are talking about it more amongst themselves. Are the national anthem protests sparked by Colin Kaepernick of the 49ers kneeling during the anthem? And now other players in the NFL have joined, whether it's kneeling or raising their fists. And I did at one point expect NBA players to follow suit in kneeling. I'm not quite so sure that's going to happen anymore. Not because they're not supportive of the cause, but because, let's be honest, ego plays a part in this. And that's Kaepernick's way of doing it. And I think, you know, players want to have their own method and not necessarily copy somebody. Maybe it would show better solidarity if they just straight up followed exactly what Kaepernick is doing. But I also think they want to send their own message and have it known that it's their own message. So we'll see how those come about. But Kaepernick has definitely started this wave where the national anthem is an opportunity for players to show their discontent with the state of things. And then it's on them in follow-up interviews to articulate that, what they're unhappy about, what they want to see change, what specifically is important to them. The common thread in all, if you know, maybe a lot, but probably all of this has been just the treatment of blacks in America. Kaepernick especially has talked more about at the hands of police, but there have been, you know, offshoots of that just into the greater issue of it. And the Pistons seem to be very in tune with this and very thoughtful on this. Marcus Morris sort of implied that he would stand for the anthem because that's what he believes in. And I think that's totally reasonable. But he also says that, you know, he went out of his way to praise Colin Kaepernick's courage. The word I think he used was balls. But, you know, it's very courageous of Kaepernick to stand up for this and take all this criticism and try for to improve conditions, to start these conversations. And I think Kaepernick has succeeded tremendously. These conversations are happening. People who were ignorant of the issues facing black Americans on a day-to-day basis, they're learning more about it. They're considering it. They might not agree with everything Kaepernick says, but they're at least more aware of the issue and forced to confront some of their thoughts. And that's good. That's going to be the step toward progress. And I hope NBA players, including the Pistons, continue that. I have not seen any NBA player come out and say they're going to kneel for the anthem specifically, but there's been a lot of talk around it and maybe some type of different demonstration or something, and hopefully it's something that delivers a message more than the Seahawks did. You know, it's where they just linked arms and talked about unity and just said a bunch of nothing, really. It wasn't a demonstration as much as just, I don't know what that was. And, you know, hopefully players, if they feel like that's something they want to take on, you know, that if they don't, not part of their job, they're professional athletes, they're not politicians, they're not professional protesters, this is not their job, but if it does feel comfortable for them, I think it could be a very good thing. I think Reggie Jackson has a fantastic perspective on this. He grew up in a military family. He moved all around. And this is from a Vince Ellis article. Here's a quote from Reggie Jackson. I think being in the military and moving around a lot, seeing people of different colors, creeds, sexuality, preferences, it does matter. I just seen my transgender substitute teacher back in high school. I don't even know what you say. Him, her, it's just a big hug. We had good times. As a person, I can look past stuff. It's all about creating bonds. That's all it is. You got to look inside a person, and I really think that's our problem. You wonder why we fear each other. I don't know what's going on in this world, but it takes you time. It's you take the time just to get to know somebody. The world's less scary. It's really a beautiful place. If you just take the time to get to know somebody besides you, just respect their beliefs and respect their preferences. You don't have to agree with them, but just respect it. And I think that's powerful on multiple levels. The biggest is the way his being in a military family opened him up to new experiences. It did not harden his mind into a very commercial form of patriotism where you stand for the flag and you buy the red, white, and blue Bud Lights. You know, you take what it means, what America stands for, and you take that to heart. And I think that's much more meaningful than some of the faux patriotism being spread around. And I also think it hints at what Jackson said. What Kaepernick is successfully doing, it's that there are too many people who read these news reports of police shooting black people, and they don't, not that they don't consider the people being shot as human if you ask them about it, but they don't primarily consider them that way. They think about the people being shot just sort of as some person over there being shot, and that's not good enough. There needs to be more time taken into thinking about those people, thinking about what can be done to avoid it, because whether or not a police shooting is justified, it's still a terrible thing. Like, we don't want a state of affairs where police, you know, have to shoot citizens all the time, even if it's justified on the police's end. That's not good. And it's definitely not good when the shootings are unjustified. So we need to think about this as an American problem. And I think the reverence in which we hold athletes, when they demonstrate on it and they talk about it, that can help humanize it and help bring about change. So I'm very much looking forward this season to seeing how the Pistons handle this. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You can find Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom, or you can subscribe on iTunes. We'll be here 5 days a week from here on out, Monday through Friday, talking about everything with the Pistons. I'm sure as they get more into practicing and everything else, we'll be looking at some more light issues. I mean, sports, I understand for a lot of us can be a distraction, and you don't always want to get into the important issues, but I do think they are worth talking about when they come up. And we'll be getting a lot more basketball focused as the team gets more basketball focused. And I'm sure we'll come back to these bigger issues. They're not going away. They're still important. But we'll definitely have all kinds of coverage throughout the year on Locked On Pistons. Thanks for listening.